Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this is a re-recording of the show for the 27th of September because I made a boo-boo. I had the date of Yom Kippur wrong because I read the calendar wrong. My fault. So I'm recording the show again to remove the error in it. Sundown tonight, sundown of the 27th to sundown of the 28th is Yom Kippur, the day of covering over. So I stand corrected. It was brought to my attention, and I had to cancel the show and I have to re-record it. I cannot put out error like that. I can't let that stand. I'm very, very sorry. We are going to be doing chapters 4, 5, and 6 of Nehemiah today. Chapter 4 begins on a different it's different than in the King James. Okay, it's 17 verses in chapter 4. It would be verse 7 is verse 1 in the Hebrew. Okay? The King James has tampered with the verse order. So let's get into chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabi, these are traditional enemies of Israel, and the Ammoni, that's the Ammonites, and the Ashdodi, that's the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were restored, and that the breaches began to be stopped up, then they were very angry. In other words, they had heated anger. Verse 2, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to do disturbance to it. Verse 3, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto Eloheinu, that is our God, and set a guard, 4929, over them day and night because of them. They were going to guard the walls. Verse 3. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto Eloheinu, that's our God again, and made a guard over them day and night because of them. Verse 4. And Yehuda said, that's all the people of Yehuda together, everybody agreed. The strength of the bearers of burdens is weakened, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to rebuild the wall. Verse 5, and our adversaries said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Well, that isn't going to happen. Verse 6. And it came to pass that when the Yaudim, those are the people of the tribe of Judah, and the inhabitants, the purebred Judahites, which dwelt by them, came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places when you shall return unto us. And they have added, they will be upon you. Well, they got a warning from the people that lived by these adversaries. So they knew beforehand. And this is Nehemiah speaking. He's the governor appointed by the king of Persia. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the bare places. I even set the people after their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. He armed them up and was prepared to do battle against these traditional enemies that hated Israel. He's going to foil their plans. Verse 8, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid from their presence. Remember, Yahweh is great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So he's inspiring them, basically, to fight. He's stirring them up. He's not going to take this lion down. Verse 9, and it came to pass when our hated enemies heard that it was known unto us, and Elohim had frustrated their counsel, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. In other words, they got word, all these guys are waiting for you guys. Bring it on. They're going to kill you if you come and attack them. And they said, oh. They lost the element of surprise, and they chickened out. Pardon me. I have to clear my lungs here again, folks. Okay, verse 10. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants worked in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the body armor. In other words, he had half his people working, half his people guarding. And the officers were behind all the house of Yehuda. Verse 11, they which built on the wall, and they that bore burdens, which those that loaded, with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other held a weapon. Well, they were ready. They had had enough of these enemies. Verse 12, for the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so built. And he that blew the shofar was by me. That was used to sound alarm. Verse 13, and I said unto the nobles, and to the officials, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. Verse 14, in what place you hear the sound of the shofar, gather from there unto us. Our Eloheinu, that's our God, shall fight for us. Verse 15. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. In other words, 24/7. Verse 16, likewise at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. In other words, everybody come inside the walls for protection so we can protect one another. Verse 17, so neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving each man put them off for washing. And they didn't take their clothes off except to wash them. They were ready for battle at all times. They weren't in their sleeping gear. They were in their clothes. They just lay down in their clothes, ready to fight. And that ends chapter 4. Now here we have the abolishing of interest payments. Verse 1. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brothers, the Yahudim. Now, some of these white Israelites were charging interest. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But all of this whole book of Nehemiah is putting things back in their proper order. So this is a gradual process. Verse 2, for there were that said, we are many, our sons and daughters. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, our lands, vineyards, and houses we have given in pledge that we might get corn because of the famine. Verse 4, there were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute upon our lands and vineyards. Verse 5, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we subject our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage. Neither is it in the power of our hand for our lands and vineyards, for other men have them. Verse 6, and I was very angry when I heard their cry, because interest is, and these words, interest is against the law of Yahweh for Israel. Verse 7, you can reference Exodus 22, verse 25, Leviticus 25, verses 35 through 37, Deuteronomy 23, verses 19 and 20, Psalms 15, verse 5, Proverbs 28, 8, Isaiah 24, 2, Jeremiah 15, 10, and Ezekiel 18, 8, 13, 17, and chapter 22, verse 12. Verse 7 here. Then I consulted with my heart, and I contended with it. The nobles and the officials, I contended with the nobles and the officials and said to them, you lend at usury every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. Verse 8, and I said to them, we, after our sufficiency, have brought back our brethren, the Yahudim, those are people of the tribe of Judah, which were sold unto the nations. And will you even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? In other words, you're putting in bondage your brothers and sisters through this usury. Then they were silent and found nothing to answer. No words. Verse 9, also I said, it is not a good thing that you do. ought you not to walk in the fear of Eloheinu, that's our God, because of the reproach of the nations of our hated enemies? He's reading them the Riot Act for charging interest, and he should. We don't do interest. Verse 10, I likewise and my brethren and my servants might lend to them money and corn. Now let us leave off this usury. Verse 11, restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the hundredth part of the money and of the corn, the new wine, and the fresh oil that you lend to them. And that's at usury. So you're going to have to pay back all of that. He called them out right in front of all of Israel in Jerusalem at that time. Okay. Verse 12, then they said, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as you say. In other words, he was a governor and he shamed them in front of their brothers and sisters because they were doing wrong. Here's one of the things that he set right, see. Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Verse 13, also I shook my lap, like you shake crumbs off your lap, and said, so Elohim shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performs not this promise, or word, this matter, word. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied, in other words, take all his stuff away from him. And all the congregation said, Amen. That's truly. Or let it be so. And praised Yahweh. And the people did according to this word. Verse 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Yehudah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year, 32nd year of Artaxata, the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. In other words, he took no wages. That's what that means. 15. But the former governors that had been before me were heavy upon the people. In other words, they really bled them dry and lived like kings. And had taken of them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants dominated over the people. But so did not I because of the fear of Elohim. So he was treating his brothers and sisters righteously. Verse 16, yea, I also continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered there unto the work. In other words, he has his whole household working on the wall. He isn't shirking his duty just because he's the governor. He's right in there. Moreover, there were 150 of the Yehudim and officials, beside those that came unto us from among the nations that surround us at my table. He was feeding people at his own house. Verse 18, now that which was repaired each day was one ox and six selected sheep. Also birds were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, in other words, no pay, he gave it, because the service was heavy upon this people. In other words, he was working everybody hard, and he was feeding them too, because it needed to be done. Verse 19, and he speaks to Yahweh here. Remember me, Elohai, that means my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Verse 6, or pardon me, chapter 6. Boy, I'm getting dyslexic here. I don't know what to tell you. Now, it came to pass when Sanballat, these are the enemies, and Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arabi, that's Arabian, and the rest of our hated enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breach left in it. And it has in parentheses, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. So they really didn't like this. They're going to try a little trick here. Verse 2. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. He saw right through that. These were all the non-Israelites that had always hated Israel and fought against them. And now that the people of the captivity were being returned, they were going to try to hurt them again. But they couldn't be too obvious, because that king, Artaxerxes, would come down on them, because he commanded that all these people be returned. Verse 3, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I am not able to come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Ooh, that's a slap in the face. Verse 4, yet they sent unto me four times after this word, this sort they have here, and I answered them after the same manner. Verse 5, then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in a like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, in which it was written, it is heard among the nations, and Gashmu, or Geshem, says it, that you and the Yahudi think to rebel, for which cause you build the wall, that you may become their king according to these words. He's lying right straight out, just like they lie about us today. Verse 7, and you have also appointed prophets to preach of you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Yehuda. And now it shall be reported to the king, that's Artaxerxes, according to these words. In other words, if you don't come down to see us and set yourself up for an ambush, we're going to lie on you to the king. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Verse 8, then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as you say, but you devise them out of your own heart. In other words, you're making this up, you're a liar. Verse 9, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it not be done. In other words, they were just trying to scare them. Fear porn back then. Well, same now. Now, therefore, strengthen my hands. He addressed that to Yahweh. Verse 10. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliyahu, the son of Mehetabel, pardon me, who was shut up. In other words, he was an invalid. And he said, let us meet together in the house of Elohim within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come in to slay you. Yea, in the night they will come to slay you. Okay, watch out here. It's another rat that was trying to hurt him. It'll tell that in a minute. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to live? I will not go in. In other words, I'm not afraid. Verse 12. And lo, I perceived that Elohim had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was a shill for the enemy, like we have shills for the enemy today that are supposedly holy men, so supposed preachers, but they're doing everything contrary to the laws of Yahweh, and they bear no goodwill toward true Israel. So we see a lot of that today. It was that way back then too. Verse 13, therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have a matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Run to the temple and hide. No, ain't happening, sorry. There's a great similarity of what was going on then and what's going on now. Verse 14. Elohai, that means my God. That's a personal possessive. And he's speaking to him here. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophecies, Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. They had hired a bunch of people against him. Verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul. That's September. In 52 days, they worked on it and worked on it and worked on it without ceasing and got it fixed. Verse 16, and it came to pass when all our hated enemies heard of it, and all the nations, that's the heathen nations, that surrounded us saw this, they were much cast down in their own eyes. In other words, they were embarrassed and humbled because they had tried to stop it. For they perceived that this work was done from Eloheinu, from our God. In other words, Yahweh had his hand in it. Verse 17, moreover, in those days, many nobles of Yehuda sent letters unto Tobiah and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. In other words, they were fifth columnists. They were working behind the scenes. Verse 18, for many in Yehuda were sworn, Lord by oath unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arach, and his son Yochanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Verse 19. Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Well, it didn't work. So what we have here is enemies of Israel conspiring to stop the rebuilding of the wall and the gates in Jerusalem. Like enemies of true Israel today conspire to stop the truth getting out, like on EFR. They conspire against us. Oh, and they close PayPal accounts. And they do all of this other stuff in their little evil ways. And they plot and they conspire. And Yahweh frustrates their plans. And they hate us and they call us names. And try to incite violence, and they set white people against white people, as they have always done. They've always done this. They've put two world wars on us. They've fomented and financed both sides of every war we've fought, trying to decimate the true people of Israel because they can't stand our presence. We are a threat to them. They cannot have us on the planet because they know that we are Yahweh's true chosen people. And it foils their plans to impersonate us. They hate our Father. They hate our Messiah. They hate. They have no morals. They do all sorts of violence. They foment dissent. They manufacture deception. There's all this nonsense on the internet about all this fear porn that they're putting out. Oh, the world's going to end, and this is going to do this, and they're going to do yada, yada, yada. All it is a deception to shatter our hopes and to break our faith in Yahweh. That's all it is designed to do. The devil did the same thing to Job to break his faith. Oh, he had sores and boils, and kids were killed, and the houses fell in, and the livestock was stolen, and he was using him as a pawn to break his faith, to get him to curse Yahweh. Because Yahweh said, look at Job. He is perfect in his faith. He says, oh, yeah, well, he is now because he's blessed him and he's got all that stuff. Let me do some stuff down there. I'll show you how perfect he is, how much he loves you. Then he went down and just tormented old Job a lot. Well, push comes to shove. He did all sorts of machinations like they are doing against us now. And it all came to naught. Job blessed Yahweh and praised him all through the book. Even though he was a little arrogant, a little self-righteous, Yahweh humbled him and showed him the error of his ways, and he came back stronger than ever, and Yahweh blessed him more than he had before. So all the naysayers were shamed. Okay, his three friends that had told him, you're to blame, you did this, you did that, blah, blah, blah. They didn't know that he was being used as a pawn in a little contest between the Satan and Yahweh. Well, the same type of people that naysayed Job were naysaying Nehemiah. Now, all of this occurred between chapter 6 and chapter 7 in the timeline of Ezra. This whole book, this was all written by Ezra. He wrote all this down, all these occurrences. And it parallels our world today by the deceptions and the evil and the wickedness that these people have done to Nehemiah. These foreigners wanted to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple and the gates so they could have some semblance of legitimacy and say, oh, we belong here too. We have part and parcel in this. And they said, no, you have nothing to do with us or our temple or our God. You are not of Israel. You don't worship our God. You worship pagan gods. You have no part in this. We're not going to allow you to help in the rebuilding because you will be a hindrance. And they got angry and vindictive, which is their nature, and they try to put a halt to all this building. Well, Nehemiah just persevered and just kept on and kept on and kept on and wouldn't let them stop him, and he stood up like a man. Later on in the book, he's going to prohibit the violation of the Sabbath. That'll be coming up. But in these chapters I read today, he abolished usury. He reminded the Israelites, there's a lot of white people out there today that works in banks that are involved in usury against their brothers and sisters. They don't follow Yahweh's law about it. Well, you see what they did here, and he stopped it. He says, no, you are not going to steal everybody's goods in this time of dilemma through your usury. You're going to give everybody their money back, and you're going to help them just like the rest of us are helping them. You're going to provide goods and food and clothing because you're rich and they're not, and they just came back from the dispersion, and you are going to help. You're not going to bleed them dry. You're not going to put them into bondage. We're not going to have any of that. Well, he was the governor, and he gathered a great assembly against them. Remember, that was in the passage here. In other words, all the people stood up and said, and they looked at all these people and said, oh, okay, we'll give everybody's money back. No problem. Well, what would happen if all the white people today stood up and said, we've had enough of your government. You're going to go by the Constitution and nothing else. All these laws that you have passed are null and void. You're going by the Constitution. And we all stood up. I mean, what is their modus operandi? They'll come and bring 300 or 400 guys with lots of guns and shields, bulletproof shields and masks and helicopters, against one guy out in the woods someplace. You saw what they did in Charlottesville. They steered our unarmed people into the arms of the armed Antifa. But what if our people were equally as armed? What if all those people that showed up had a rifle? What do you think the cops would have done then? They would have freaked out. But that was a setup job. That was a fake thing from the very get-go to make white people in general look bad so they can call us all Nazis. I am not a National Socialist. I'm not any kind of a socialist. I'm not in favor of any government by man at all. I am waiting for the kingdom of Yahweh in its totality. I owe no allegiance to any nation except the nation of Israel, the real Israel, not the state of Israel over there in the Mideast. The true chosen people of Yahweh, my people, my racial brothers and sisters, that I owe allegiance to. And to Yahweh and my King, Yahshua, who will reign over us, the eternal, righteous King, Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness. I don't owe any allegiance to anything else. I don't care about earthly governments. I don't care about elections. I don't care about political parties. They are all vanity, as Solomon said, vanity in vanities, worthlessness, smoke and mirrors, deceptions, to distract us from seeing the real problem. We stress the real problem here at EFR. I stress it. Keep your eyes on Yahweh and His laws and be obedient, and He has it in hand. And there are a lot of people out there that are naysayers. Oh, He hasn't come in 2,000 years and I don't believe all that. Time is nothing to Yahweh. Only we are bound by time. He is not. He has extended this grace period to bring in as many people into the remnant as He can. That is a blessing. That is love from Yahweh. We cannot make Him go according to our timetable. We forget our place in the pecking order of the universe. He's Yahweh, we're not. Yahweh first, His will first, His grand plan first. And if we are obedient to Him and worship Him, He will take care of us. Okay, some of us die here on this planet. People die every day of old age, or a bus runs over them, or they choke on a piece of chicken, or some thug shoots them in a drive-by shooting. Whatever. People die. It's how you live your life and who you serve that counts, because if you are one of His, if you die now, you will be back. And that's what the Jews hate the worst. They have no future. They only have the now. They don't have what we have. They have no king. They have no nation. They have no salvation. They have no redemption. When they die, it's like a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow. The spirit goes back into the earth and that's it. They have no soul. They were born dead spiritually from the womb. They are dead, walking dead. And they hate us because we have the promise of eternal life. We are children of the promise. Well, they hated Nehemiah and the Israelites back then. Same then, same now. Always similar repeat circumstances. And Yahweh facilitated that wall being built and the gates being restored. He's going to hang the gates in another chapter. Well, let's take a look at EFR. Yahweh has facilitated Eurofolk Radio, the premier Christian identity station on the internet. His word goes out daily, every day. That's what this station is all about. Naysayers. Boy, do we have naysayers. Haters. Boy, do we have haters. Lots of haters. Name calling. Boy, are we called names. They call us all kinds of stuff. But does it matter in the scheme of things? If Yahweh is with us, who can be against us? Nobody. They're going to lose. They're going to lose. Yes, some of us will go down. Okay, you're going to die anyway. Unless you live long enough to see the Messiah return, and that's getting closer and closer. All this fear porn about all these planets. The 23rd has come and gone. The guy modified his statements. Oh, I didn't mean the world was going to end. There would just be a sign in the sky. But it's coming. It's coming. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, a lot of things will come. Yeshua will be coming in flaming fire to kill all those that don't know Elohim. And we have an opportunity at sundown tonight. I had the thing fouled up. I misread the calendar, and I had the date wrong. I had today as Yom Kippur. It is not. It's sundown tonight to sundown tomorrow night on the 28th. So I have corrected that. I erased the whole show. I'm re-recording it to get the date right. I don't want to present error. And I made a boo-boo, and I'm man enough to say, hey, I made a boo-boo. This is the result of that. This show is the recording for the 27th. I have erased the other one. We need to observe Yom Kippur. It is a day of fasting, afflicting your bodies, a day of prayer, a day of reading scripture. You are to do no work whatsoever. You are to keep that fast. I would suggest if you are scheduled to work tomorrow that you call in sick. That's my suggestion to you. I can't make you do anything. But if you want to keep Yahweh's commandments, you are to do no work on Yom Kippur. It is a high holy day. Celebration of the final covering over of our sins. It used to be just a yearly covering over with the blood of bulls and goats. And it wasn't working, so Yahweh came down in the flesh of a man as Yeshua and sacrificed himself to cover over our sins for all time if we accept and obey the terms of that covenant. There's that if again. Lip service doesn't get it. It just doesn't get it. I'm sorry. You can say you love Yahweh and then live in the world and it will avail you nothing. He will separate you out. I don't want this. I don't glory in this. I don't take great satisfaction. Ah, that hypocrite. Blah, 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 blah. No, it grieves me. It grieves me that any of my brothers and sisters in Israel will fall by the wayside. That bothers me to the extreme. And I teach these lessons in hope that people will take them to heart and come off that fence into Yahweh's camp. and be among the redeemed. I'm going to be observing Yom Kippur. Okay? Following week starts the Feast of Tabernacles. I will be gone. I will have all the shows pre-recorded. And I will be with Eli James. Eli's going to come and pick me up. And we're going downstate to our Feast of Tabernacles. And I will stay the entire feast. Eli's going to go on one of the intermediate days when you're permitted to travel. He's going to travel and go to others because we have congregations all over. And Eli's sort of the senior guy. I mean, come on, folks. He wants to visit a lot of people and fellowship with people. And he's like a rock star of Christian identity. He's going to get me for that. But Eli and I are very close friends, and he is a marvelous, marvelous, wonderful brother. And we're going to meet a lot of other ones down there. I urge you strongly, keep the feasts. Observe the fast of the Day of Atonement. 24 hours, sundown to sundown. Obey Yahweh's laws and come home to Him. That's the most important thing. Another hit of hot coffee in my hot cup. It's been a pleasure. This is the 294th Word for Word show. That's a lot of shows. Friday will be number 295. I'm getting toward the 300 mark. That's a lot of scripture. When I finish Nehemiah, I will begin on 1 Chronicles, and I will do 1 and 2 Chronicles, and that will finish out the Old Testament. Then I will segue into the apocryphal books and the book of Jasher, the book of Jubilees, the book of Enoch. I will be reading and commenting on all of those. That will take me all the way probably into the new year, and I will begin the New Testament books. And I will finish up all of the scriptures, Old Testament, intermediate books, and New Testament in 2018. It's going to be a long ride and very fulfilling. Then I will do repeats. And be a lot of new listeners. And I will keep up my wake-up call shows live, new ones each week. On Thursday, so I'm not just going to drop out entirely, but I have a lot of printing to do, a lot of the books still need to be put into print, and I need to concentrate on that. And then, of course, I do co-hosting with Eli. And thanks for being with me on this wonderful ride through the scriptures. And I'm going to play some musical stuff here to finish out the hour. And I'll talk to you on Friday when we do Nehemiah 7 through 9. May Yahweh bless and keep you. And Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into
Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in Him. Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, My refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For He delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with His feathers, and under His wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong, because you have made Yahweh my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For He commands His messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lions and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because He cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver Him. I set Him on high because He has known my name. When He calls on me, I answer Him. I am with Him in distress. I deliver Him and honor Him. with long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.